Hello, welcome to another episode of Audibly Addicted. I'm Kim Lorraine.
And I'm Mo.
I am Lance Greenfield.
Addicted, audibly addicted. And if you'd like to come along, we can talk about the dirty words in the audiobooks we've heard. Come on, let's go with Kim.
We are so happy to have you with us, Mr. Lance Greenfield.
I am happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I remember telling Mo that we were finally going to be able to get you. You're a little bit elusive until just recently. Like, you've been kind of hard to track down. And but then you appeared on social media.
Yeah, that was the big turning point. Mm-hmm. Actually getting to meet the fans and immerse myself in that the passion, really, mm-hmm. and just see what a loving and giving community it is. That was the big catalyst for me.
Yeah. Romance fans are like no other fan
That's true.
The book world. They're pretty amazing, and I mean, it's right there on the level with, you know, people who are fans of like Star Trek and Star Wars and, you know, that sort of thing. Like, they are passionate about it. They will tell you all about it. And I am also a romance fan. So it just, you know, like, I'm just in the group with my people and just enjoying it, just kind of basking in everyone talking about the things they love all the time and the things that make them happy. So narrators are one of those things.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty special crowd, I'd say.
I think so. But we were excited to find you. I remember when I messaged Mo and was like, Lance Greenfield's on social media.
Yeah.
I believe there were some like running gifts involved.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I had a Facebook for a time, but I left Facebook in January and I don't miss it at all. Mm-hmm. It was when Aaron Mallon, for those of you listening, if you haven't heard any of her work, you should look it up yesterday.
Yeah.
Agree.
writing, narrating, she does it all. But anyway, she had very graciously asked me to take part in her bromantic comedies, which I had a blast doing. We recorded that, I think, in December, and it was released early January. I don't know if those details are correct. The whole year has become kind of a big blur.
Yeah.
But she was having a Instagram live chat, and I had to create a page to do this. And upon doing the interview, creating a profile, you know, putting a picture or two up, I already felt it was a much better fit. And people seem to be leaving Facebook in droves and going to Instagram, but it's also owned by Facebook. So,
right. You can't escape.
No, you can't. No, you can't. But I'm liking it a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just such a different platform because it's so visually driven. You know, I think that's one thing. Like, you have to have something content wise to put up aside from just like, I'm going to say something offensive on my Facebook wall, you know, like it's different. There's plenty of offensive stuff on Instagram, but I feel like it's a different crowd because you're going there to see something that's going to make you feel some kind of way, whatever that might be.
I saw this great like joke photo, like an honest Facebook argument. Mm-hmm. And it's the thread starter is just named The Troublemaker. And he says, I'm gonna post this angry, misguided opinion on this hot button issue because I know it's gonna start a massive debate and I'm super bored.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Yeah. That encapsulates it perfectly. You have to look harder on Instagram to find that stuff.
You do. Yeah, you do. Yeah, mostly it's like, for me anyway, my Instagram feed's all like professional photographer's photos, because I have to, you know, like as an author, I have to look for pictures for covers of, you know, shirtless dudes. So yeah. Yeah. My husband's always like, "What are you looking at?" And I was like, "It's work.
Working.
Working.
My business."
Is it a database of shirtless dudes that like you pay for the image, and like how does that work? You pay for the image and use it for the cover?
Yes, it depends. Some people use stock photos, and so stock photos are super inexpensive, but anybody can use them for anything as long as they pay for the license. And so you can have like book covers with the same image on them all over the place because the photo's good. And if it's a good photo that someone finds on a stock site, you know, bet your ass it's going to be on 27 covers by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Because it's a great photo. So much more expensive option is to go to a photographer's gallery and look on their website and find a custom photo that is exclusive. You pay for the exclusive rights to use that picture. Nobody else uses it. And then you have a license for it for a certain, like they're all different, but you can use that for your book image and for marketing purposes.
Okay.
And nobody else can, but that's a much more expensive option. And depends on what you write, because there's no shortage of photos of men in suits. I happen to write cowboys. There is much shortage of cowboys. So, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As does Lauren Landish.
Yep. But... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She does. And I think it's, you know, like when you write a specialized profession or lifestyle, I think you have to go more the route of custom photos, especially. But sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes it's not at all. Sometimes they don't pay for themselves. It just depends. But that's okay.
This has been Stock Photo Corner.
this is the Stock Photo Corner, and this is how we do. But it's not a, it's funny because it's not super fun to look for photos. Like it's kind of similar to wading through a lot of auditions. Like if you have an open call for an audiobook and you have 100 auditions that come in and then you have to listen. And it takes a long time to find that right voice for what you're looking for.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar with stock photos because you're sitting there and you're looking and you're like, well, this is nice, but is it right? And now you got to really take your time to do it. And it starts to all blend together. And you're like, I can only see so many abs before. I'm really, I'm just tired of abs. I'm like, just eat a donut. It's fine.
I mean, I guess I can't relate to that particular emotion, but okay.
No, you can't.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. You're not into the dad bod. Okay. But yeah, it's very a long process usually, unless you just happen upon the right photo immediately. So, but let's talk about narration and let's talk about you and all the books you've done that have all the abs on the covers. Because I think I first heard you on, what was it? It was a Kristen Ashley.
Sage.
But which one was it?
Probably which complicated. One was, it was it complicated?
I think it might have been complicated. It might have been. I'm going to go to Audible right now.
There's Complicated, Loose Ends, The Rising Series.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. You were on The Rising Series.
The Hook, Moonlight and Motor Oil.
I think that was my first one, was The Hookup. Which I love.
I think mine was Complicated. Because it's someone with the sheriff's star on the cover. I was seeing the sheriff's star on the cover.
Yeah.
And being like, what was that called? It's not called Sheriff. and it's you and Erin Mallon. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now. And the first time I met her in person, mm-hmm. we'd done a slew of books together. I'd been in the game for 2 years at that point, and I'd done several titles with her, and it was the first time we met in person.
Isn't that funny how you can work with someone so much and then not know them at all?
Yeah.
Until you finally get to see each other.
Yeah, your schedules just don't line up. Mm-hmm. I'm asked all the time, you know, do you and the female narrator like you know, crack up in the booth together at some of the stuff you have to read. It's like, I'm lucky if I ever see them. Never done a duet style. Carly Robbins and I, Lauren Landish wanted to do that with us for one of her books, but the pandemic happened. So there, obviously there's hope for the future. I'd love to try that one day, but no such luck yet.
Well, you and I should talk because all my books are in duet. So we should discuss that.
Oh, please.
For sure. Well, I think that you have such a unique voice in comparison to like a lot of narrators that we listen to. Yours stands out because you have a very unique timbre, and it really lends itself to alpha male. And I think you get cast as an alpha male a lot. Well,
thank you.
And but I don't know how to describe what it is, Mo, but you know what I'm talking about, right? How his just got this like bit of edge to it, but it's not very grumbly or growly. It's just sort of, I'm here and you're going to listen to me.
Perfect. Put that on your business card.
That's it. That should be your tagline for your website.
Well, thank you.
I'm here. You're going to listen to me.
It helps that it's almost exclusively written in first person because I am an actor first. And when I was first starting out, I guess part of why I had so much success in my first year was because I felt like I was just monologuing. And that was a compliment I'd gotten a couple times from, you know, friends of mine who I'd played samples for. It's like, this sounds like a monologue. And that was sort of the MO I carried into narrating for the next 7 years to the present. I like to, you know, do it like I'm doing a monologue. And you know, if it's third person, I can work with that too. You just learn to do the different styles as you go.
Yeah, because you have to dip more into narrator when you're in third person, and then connect with the character only on dialogue. So it's, and I think we kind of, I think the majority is first person most of the time right now, but it used to be that everything was written in third person. I didn't read a first person book until, gosh, when was it? Like 50 Shades of Grey, maybe? You know, it was like, I mean, it was all Nora Roberts and stuff for me. It was all third person for a long time.
Might have been something. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
Okay. Maybe I'm just talking to my butt here, but maybe it's just something with like the way the stories are told in like the 2000s, you know, the people wanted to hear like more of the first person stuff. Like when I was in high school, I was at a dollar store with a couple of my friends just, you know, to look around. And I found a book called Commanded to His Bed. It was like a historical romance. And I picked it up and just started reading aloud. And who would have thunk?
There you are.
Third person. I think that was just the style. Mm-hmm. And as the tide turned, people wanted to hear the character, him or herself, you know, experiencing just sort of go on the journey with them, you know, whether it's the euphoria of like realizing you're in love or like the anxiety of possibly losing that person. It's a lot more fun to listen to the character experiencing that and relating to it.
You're closer to them.
Yes. It's more personal than a third person narrator who's not intimately, you know, connected to the character.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It makes a big difference. I know that there are a lot of people who don't enjoy third person at all and won't read it. But I also do see people who talk about how they don't want to read first person. And so they get annoyed because there's so much first person out there. And they're like, I don't want that.
I'm like, 95%.
Might be in the wrong genre.
Yeah.
Perhaps you should read something different because, I mean, even literary now, a lot of it is first person. Like, it's really changed. And I think you're right. I think it's that connection that you have to the character when you are in that first person, whether it's first person past tense or present tense, you're there with them. Right. And you're feeling everything they're feeling because you're right there. And there's no detachment. And I really enjoy that, especially when it's performed really well, because it does, it transports you and changes the way you are experiencing everything. So, and I think that's something that, you know, you bring to it. Like you said, it's the being an actor first, you're bringing that into it and really connecting with the character.
Thank you.
And I think it's, you know, a testament to just the way narration styles have changed over the last 10 years or so too. Mo and I talk about that all the time. Yes, Mo.
That is true. And it, true. You know, because, you know, when you get that performance, you're just that much closer to the story. And I think especially romance readers, that's what we want. We want to be right in it. We want to feel everything, not have it told to us. Does that make
like
sense?
Recitative?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And we want, especially the hero, you know, I think anytime there is a hero point of view in a book, we love it. I mean, at least I know I do. I love to get that hero's point of view. Love to know how he's feeling, what kind of angst he's dealing with, how horny is he for her?
Animal.
And, you know, like all of that stuff, we want it. So then when we have somebody who can bring that to life, I think that's where that fan base really comes in too, because, you know, the narrators are bringing all these characters that we love completely to life for us.
Yeah.
And the ones who do it really well are the ones that people talk about a lot. Cause they're like, cause he is this hero for me, you know, and it's pretty cool. It's fun. So do you record at home or are you at a studio?
I record at home. That's the way it's been for the last year and a half since the pandemic began. I had to get very resourceful. Brick Shop Audio was my home base studio. I live in Brooklyn, and they're in Brooklyn as well. And that's where I got my start. Mm-hmm. And it was a solid routine I developed. I would... you know, go to them early in the day to, you know, either audition or record something, you know, go to my night job. I'd worked in a restaurant at the time. And sometimes I'd go out to Audible in Newark and other studios throughout the city. Mm-hmm. But then the pandemic happened and Brick Shop Audio really stepped up. Like it's an understatement to say they stepped up. They sent their narrators equipment you know, on their dime, beyond gracious, and they really set you up for success. You could then work from home. It really,
that's
really
fantastic. That's
saved,
amazing.
Yes, yeah, it really saved my ass. And from then on, I went on to record over 30 books in the last year. So I've been busier than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, mm-hmm. I think that just comes with the territory of having your own setup. People know that your schedule is your own. And yeah, the work just falls on you like an avalanche. So that's wonderful. And
which is good news for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. but
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if now and again, if a really long title comes my way, there's this sci-fi author I work with now and again, and his books. I mean, he has one coming up that just based on the page number and the word count, I'm estimating to be 24 hours.
Oh man.
That is a clear your schedule book. And
yeah,
not only that, that is when I would record studio, when I would schedule studio time, because I want to work with a director on that. I want to get that done as quickly as possible. And mm-hmm. it's always been, I get the most work done when I'm working with a director. You know, if I'm on a deadline, nothing beats that. You know, I'm mm-hmm. not overthinking or second guessing. Like you were saying, Kim, that you don't like your playback blasting in mm-hmm. your ears. Yeah. Right. When your playback is too loud, you can hear everything. You can hear
every little thing.
The tiniest little mouth noise that you, mm-hmm. in your heart of hearts, you know they're not going to kvetch over, but oh, mm-hmm. you're gonna make a fuss about it, and you're gonna mm-hmm. do it again. You're gonna try to make mm-hmm. everything perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm winding myself up right now just talking about it.
mouse noise, the bane of our existence.
Yes.
Worse.
Yes. And if it's noticeable, you got to do it again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I want to believe I've gotten a little better at not being such a stickler for those things, because I'll listen to playback now and again and say to myself, you stopped for that. Like, leave it be. They don't
come on.
They don't mm-hmm. notice those little things. If it comes back in pickups, just do it.
Just do it. And if the editor can magic it out, you know, there are times where that's possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, so then, and then just get it in pickups. I know it's, and I think that everybody has different philosophies on that too, because I know some narrators, their whole thing is let it go. Just let it fly. You'll get it in pickups. And others are like, I don't want to have to do it again.
Yeah. Like,
I don't want to have to match it and try to, you know, make it work again. I don't want to have that many errors on my sheet when it comes back. And there's really not a wrong way, because either way, the book has to get done.
Yeah.
And you'll either get it in pickups or you'll get it right the first time. And yeah. Yep. It's mouth noise, man. Oh. Mouth noise and stomach rumbles.
Yeah. You know, one of the cardinal rules is to stay hydrated, but if you're too mm-hmm. hydrated, you can hear
mm-hmm.
it's, mm-hmm. It's you heard that. Oh,
you're making Mo cringe right now.
Yeah, well,
the
ASMR community thinks differently.
That is not for me. That is not for me.
No,
it comes up like on my social media a lot, and I'm like, and sometimes I'll watch it for like 2 or 3 minutes, like before like I start to lose my mind, and I'm like, how mm-hmm. is this enjoyable? I want to jump mm-hmm. off a roof. Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend sent me this. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, you go ahead.
Okay, she sent me this QR code. Is that what it's called? The QR code that you photograph with your phone?
Oh yeah,
and it was cat ASMR, and it. Just the cat is just chewing like wet food, and like a second in, she's like, turn it off.
Oh.
No,
can't do it.
That is mean.
Yeah. I mean, God bless you if that's your gig, but it's not for me.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I like typing ASMR. I can handle typing. ASMR.
Sure.
That makes me happy. I have a super clicky keyboard on purpose. It looks like a typewriter keyboard, because I feel more productive when I use it. I'm not more productive. I think I'm actually less productive because I have more typos, but I feel like I'm getting a lot of shit done.
Yeah. Yep. Slicing vegetables, slicing fruits. Mm-hmm.
Scratching your nails on boxes. Like, it's the weirdest.
Yeah.
Weirdest thing. Yeah. I don't know.
But it's proof that you can have a job doing just about anything.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Man.
But yeah, the mouth noises. I got to start again having green apples in the booth with me. Have you heard?
Does it work for you?
Yes. Something with like the acidity in the apple, it really keeps the mouth noises at bay.
Okay.
But yeah, if you drink a lot of water, uh-huh. got to give yourself a little time. mm-hmm. and it'll balance itself out, you know,
yeah.
in a couple minutes. But
that is so
aspiring narrators are listening.
Yeah, take notes. But then there are the people who are like, I drink coffee in the booth, and I'm like, what? What? But isn't that a diuretic? Doesn't that make you less hydrated? I don't know.
Yeah, everybody has their own way, and some things affect people more than others. Like I saw a video of this very prolific narrator who I think like recently did the Bible. Like he's one of the narrators, and I just saw footage of him in the booth, and he has a Diet Coke next to him.
Oh my God.
I was like, all right. So there is no like 10 commandments of narration.
No. I mean, if you can drink Diet Coke while you're reading the Bible for an audiobook, I guess. Wow. Really? That's amazing. I would feel like the carbonation would be a very bad choice.
You're like editing out like a lot of burps, right?
A lot of burps. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But everybody's body is different too. That's the other thing. Like I know people who can't eat for 2 hours before they narrate, because if they do, their stomach will be really noisy. And then there's other people who have to eat like some peanut butter crackers 30 minutes before they record so that they cannot get hungry during their recording session. So I don't know. Bodies are weird.
Yeah. If I get hungry enough, I'll have an apple. That's what I'll have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, I was just going to ask how many finished hours do you try to record in a day?
That depends on where I am. On a really good day, I can get an hour and a half to 2 hours done. But there are some days where I really struggle, and despite my best efforts, I can only get like, you know, half an hour done. And at that point I have to call it. You know, if I have a flexible deadline, I can just say to myself, like, just hang it up for the day, be proud of what you did, and just attack it tomorrow. You know, meditate a little bit, do some breathing, and leave the booth between chapters, especially this time of year.
But I
make mistakes. I'm not somebody that can just straight record for like 3 hours and
I think most people do, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that just isn't me. So I have to work in spite of that. And I always meet deadlines, so it's not an issue, but mm-hmm. it can mm-hmm. be frustrating. It's like, you know, why can't all days be like the ones where I can get almost 2 hours done? Mm-hmm. This depends on where you are sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it takes so much focus. It's, you know, cause you're the whole time, you have to be on that whole time and conscious of all the things you're doing. Cause you're performing, and like actors on stage, they don't perform for, you know, 2 hours straight, or I mean, 4 hours straight to get their 2 hours in. Like they're often on stage. They're taking breaks in between scenes. They're, you know, other people are doing the lifting for them too, unless it's a one person show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty mentally and physically demanding. So that makes sense. And I feel like that's probably a pretty standard amount of finished hours to try to get done in a day, too. Which just means we budget the time. Mm-hmm. And so you have an acting background.
Yeah.
And so what led you into audiobook narration?
You know, people have always said, you know, every voice artist says this. People have always said to me, you should get into voiceovers. And I'd gotten wind of Brickshop Audio and mm-hmm. how they're, you know, always on the lookout for new narrators, new talent. And I'd written them an email saying, I think I have the capacity to do this. I'd love to send you an audition. I can send you a paragraph of my favorite book on my phone. I don't have professional equipment of my own, but just to give you a sense of my vocal type. And they liked what they heard. They asked me to come in. This was early 2015. I auditioned for 4 books and was able to get 2 mm-hmm. right out the gate. One of which was Shell Bliss. It was Resist Me. That was one of my first. And yeah, that's been one of my best relationships in this business ever since.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah. I feel like that first job and the first author that says yes to you, you know, like that's a special thing. You probably will never forget that first person who said, I like this. Let's take a chance on this person. Yeah. Yay, yeah. Shell. We like Shell. She's good people.
I'm gonna write her a thank you note.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you. Thank you so much for Lance Greenfield.
Yeah.
And now you have just, I mean, oh gosh, 166 titles on Audible that I'm seeing just looking at it right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's yet to be released? It's in the 170s, and yeah, closing in on 200.
Yeah. Wow. Exciting. Man. Yeah. I know we've got a couple. We get a couple of those on our production list, which is exciting. And we are super, super excited to be able to continue working with you. And we have some really great projects coming up that haven't released yet. But one of them we can talk about, and it is called The River in Spring. And you did that for us with Stella Bloom. And this was for Leslie Pike. So that one's coming out really soon. I think it's up for pre-order right now. And I think by the time this comes out, it will have released. I think it comes out like the 26th or 27th of June. But that was one where it was pretty emotional. There was a lot, the characters were dealing with a whole lot the whole time.
Yeah.
And was really, I mean, you and Stella Bloom kind of go together quite frequently. You've done quite a bit for Kristen Ashley together.
Oh, yeah.
Now, have you guys met in person or have you talked on the phone or anything?
We have not. It's all been through email.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so funny because everyone's like, they're always paired together. They must know each other. They must be like best friends. No.
They're like, I wouldn't even know if I passed him on the street.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't know unless I heard his voice.
Right.
And I know.
Mm-hmm. I hope we'd recognize.
Yeah. Has anybody recognized you by your voice? Yeah.
Not yet.
Has it happened to you?
Not yet.
I know it's gonna. You'll have that weirdo like me who is like, I hear it. Where is he? It's like my superpower. We've talked about that on the podcast before. There was this story I told where a woman that I had met, she was helping me at a store. She worked there and she had a very distinctive cadence about her speech. And so then months later, my husband, who at the time was my boyfriend, he took me to this party that his friend was having. We went and I could hear this woman talking and I was like, I know her. Where do I know her from? What is happening? And I went over and I kind of followed the sound of her voice. And then I was like, it's you. I remember you from that store and you helped me. And she was like, this is really weird. And I was like, yes, it is. I'm sorry.
That's why the kid was a creep.
Listen, it's not the first time and it won't be the last. I apologize for nothing. And Lance hangs up.
Oh no.
He's like, this was such a mistake.
No, I shouldn't have come on.
I am still here.
Okay, good. We didn't lose you.
No.
Do you have any words or phrases that really like trip you up?
Oh man. Anytime I have to say the two words in an, he rose in an instant. Though that in particular can trip me up. Like, sometimes, I get a little jaw tension and that can hinder me. And, when that happens, I got to leave the booth, do a hot compress, do some stretching. But when it gets really bad, it can be like, he rose in,
it all runs together.
Yeah. Anything else that trips me up? God, I'd have to get a couple minutes to think about that, because there are so many.
They're little things. Like, in an attempt is one that always like makes me have to stop and start.
In an attempt.
I love this feeling of like facial yoga that you guys have to do to like make all of this work. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah, the weird faces that you make as you warm up. Because you have to. You got to warm up your face.
Here's one. Now that I think about it, ing words, hanging out.
yep.
There'll be times where I will record it, three or four takes, and I will listen to it and be like, it's abundantly clear that you're struggling with this. That does not sound good. Maybe drop the G. So, I was hanging out with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather hear that or hear me fumble my way through? I was hanging out with my brother.
No, I don't want that one.
No.
I feel like sometimes when you do it like that, it almost feels forced because, like, I mean, we don't really talk like that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So, and especially like I'm from Philly, like we drop entire syllables, we combine words, like we have our own like language. So when I hear it like over enunciated with that, I'm like, it just like tweaks me. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've always been a very big stickler for diction. But sometimes, you have to loosen the reins a little bit, give yourself a longer leash.
Yeah.
And
especially depending on the character that you're playing too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, will I sound Southern if I drop the G? But just that example I gave you, I was hanging out with my brother. I didn't sound Southern there. Like, that sounded perfectly fine. So that's, I was doing a book recently where I really noticed that, the ing words. And just going forward, I'm going to be a little, less strict with myself about that. Just drop the G when I need to. Because it does sound more natural and colloquial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the way books are written, especially now, that's what you're going to find, is that things are written more to be conversational versus being very crisply spoken with, crisp diction. I write words for a living, but I can't make a sentence. That's fine. I quit. But and so you also do quite a bit of steamy books.
Oh yes.
When you first got into that, I have heard many, many stories and have my own experiences. Is it for you, was it something that you just fell right into naturally and it wasn't like a stopping point or a moment where you had to go, I'm saying this stuff and I've got to act this stuff and it's an intimate experience for the listener? And did it give you any sort of like pause at all, or did you just barrel right on in?
I was told up front, the kind of material they do, and I was able to fall right into it. There were it was not without its moments of me being very immature, but
I mean, we're immature when we write it too, though. So you're not alone.
Yeah.
Lance is our people.
Yeah. Oh man. But, the things I've written that I've sent over to Mo and just giggled about.
Yeah. But yeah. And those, there wasn't a getting used to it period. I just went for it right out the gate.
Love it.
I love it. Yeah.
Just 7 years of making a living, sounding like I'm taking it.
That's
perfect. Leave that clip for me. Say that. Click
forever. Tim, cut that and make it. Don't cut it out of the episode, but give it special to Mo so she can listen to that whenever she wants.
Put it in my archive.
Taking it and giving it all at the same time.
Oh man!
Oh, that was fantastic.
Speaking of maturity,
we're not mature. We're highly unprofessional and barely prepared for most of the things we do on this podcast. The rest of our life, we'll be prepared for things, but not this.
Maybe.
We have this game show. We're not gonna make you play it right now, but we are going to start scheduling people to join us for Stump the Narrator. And that is our game show where we have you back on. We record it's for our patrons on Patreon. And then eventually we release the episode. But what it is Mo and I choose scenes from books that you have narrated and we read them back to you and you guess what the book is. Would that be something that we could persuade you to join us for?
Yes.
I was like, don't say no.
He was very hesitant for a minute there.
I know.
No, it was because like, I was thinking like, fuck, like they're totally going to stump me on this because I'm almost 200 in. Yeah. You know, that could be really fun for your listeners.
It is super fun.
Yeah.
It'll be fun for all of us.
Oh man, alive. Wow. Yeah. That'll be fun. But yeah, you are going to stump me. I don't want to take suspense out of it. You know, for you or your listeners, like can we pull one over on him? I'm telling you, you're definitely gonna pull one over on him.
But I have said this to other narrators before. Most of our, you know, contestants do much better than they think they will.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, people swear that they're gonna fail and they'll go like, you know, four for five.
Yeah. Yeah. We've only had one fail. So
okay. one utter failure.
You could absolutely, your goal could be to fail harder than that one if you'd like.
Okay.
And then you win.
All right. Yeah. Just we can set this up. Just let me know.
Yeah, we will. It'll be fun. We are really mean and we take out character names as well. So you don't even get that to help you.
Oh God.
Mo's meaner than I am. I like to give a lot of hints.
That's generally true in all of life.
Yeah, that is just how it works. Would have been my in.
Yeah, exactly.
But we've had narrators who could give us like the entire plot of the book based on, you know, the part that we've read, but they could not give us the name of the book. Mm-hmm. You do get credit for that, but I just think that's funny. Yeah. So, I mean, you guys retain more than you think you do.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, it comes back to you. And if it doesn't come back to you, it'll just be really fun. We'll just have a really good time. So,
Fair enough.
Bring your favorite beverage to relax with. And we'll just have a lovely little time and lots of laughing. Because that's really the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just have fun. As far as what you're working on right now, is there anything that you are able to talk about that you're working on or that you're excited about or that's on your schedule coming up that you're allowed to share?
I'm not sure about that, like what I can disclose and what I can't disclose. What I will say is right now I have two titles emerging from the Cocky Hero Club, Bossy Burglar and Seductive Scoundrel. Those have just been released. I have Blame It on the Champagne by Fiona Cole, releasing later this month. I have The Redemption by Nikki Sloan coming out in July. Coming out. Yeah. In July, that was a great time. But I do have some projects in the pipeline, but I want to err on the side of caution and just keep those to myself for now. I assure you, you will know about them in due time.
Good. Yeah. And then anything that you want us to share, feel free to email it over to Mo and I, and we'll be happy to share releases and information and things like that.
Sure. Obviously, River and Spring coming out.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you don't follow me on Instagram, you can find me at lance.greenfield. Real simple. And
follow Lance.
Yeah. Please. I post pretty regularly. There's a, I did for a time a book of the day where I just, you know, pulled from everything I've done, and you can only do that for so long before you run out, but there is a vast library to choose from. So that's hope you check it out.
Yeah. Oh, they will. Don't worry. They're going to be so excited that you were even on this episode, because like I said, we had a whole thing where we asked our fan group, you know, who do you want to hear on the podcast? And it was a lot of Lance Greenfield. And I was like, I don't know how to find him.
Well, thank you all.
But we found him, and I'm so excited.
But we found him. Yes. Okay. And now we're not letting you go. Sorry. You're trapped.
You are in the club now, friend.
Do you have a specific character type that you have yet to get to play that you really want to?
I think a historical hero. I haven't done historical romance yet.
Except at the Dollar Tree.
Yeah, you did at the Dollar Tree.
I think the gods heard that and thought, like, he's terrible at this. Like, let's draw the line at like vampires and werewolves. But no, I've matured. But yeah, that is something I would like to do. But I think other than that, I've really run the gamut.
You have. Yeah. You've done a lot. I mean, I definitely feel like, you know, the cowboy is a good place for you to be for sure. Yeah. So
wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, I mean, we can talk about this because it's been announced, but Beverly Preston's book, Catching Ember.
Yes.
We get your Texas cowboy in that one.
Oh yeah.
So, and that one is still in production, but the recording is completed. And, you know, that's her first book in 5 years, and she was so excited to have it brought to life. And I think it was when we were casting, it was pretty much no question that we were going to ask you to do it, because just like perfect fit for that hero.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to hear the Texas from you.
I'm excited for you to hear it too.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm from Texas. So
I've been to Texas once. So that was
one time. You've been there one time.
I just don't like to be left out. That's all.
Yeah. She's like, I've seen it. I've been there. I flew over it one time. It's very big. Yeah, but I was disappointed last time I was in Texas. There were not a cowboy hat to be found.
What part?
Dallas.
Okay. I was in Kilgore a few years ago, doing shows for the summer. And I saw a couple cowboy hats. I also saw, you know, Whataburger.
Whataburger. Yeah.
Best fast food, hands down.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I used to think it was Whataburger.
Me too.
Because, you know, I couldn't read. And I was like, Whataburger. Because we also had, like, you know, water bugs were big in the summer in Texas. I think call them June bugs too. But it was like, you know, it's a water bug. And I was like, it's a Whataburger. It's water. So when I moved from Texas to Washington, well, eventually got there. I lost my accent. And then when I went back to visit, I was like, it's not Whataburger. It's Whataburger. And I looked at it and I was reading it going, oh, I'm so, my whole world just was changed. Here we go, off the rails. You're welcome, everyone. On brand. So, okay, you've got to get going because I know you've got something coming up that you've got to head out for. So we will let you go. You have shared it with everybody where to follow you, which is the Instagram profile. You can also search audiobooks narrated by Lance Greenfield on Audible, and you will have so many to choose from. There, and they just keep on coming out. So thank you so much
for taking
the time to talk with us today.
Of course. And thank you for having me. And to all the listeners, thank you for listening.
Yeah, we love them. They're very important to all of us.
Yeah.
Please continue to listen. Talk to you soon.
Great talking with you both.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, you tried so hard to hold it together. And then she squealed at the end. You did great.
I didn't like squeal in his face, so that at least there was that.
No, you squealed afterward, and this is totally staying in. So he can listen to it later. And hear you. Uh-oh. Finally let your fangirl out. I could see it on your face. You were like, hold it together. Don't do what Kim does. Don't almost fall off your chair. Oh, that made my whole day. Awesome. He's so sweet. He's very,
very much.
Very, very nice. Nice. You know how I feel about the nice people. I love a nice person. And it's so then when they're talented and nice, it's just.
It's great. I mean, it's annoying. It's annoying, but it's great.
Sure. I don't think it's annoying, but you do.
But I do. Because I'm neither talented nor nice. So it's like, why do you get both?
Stop it.
I don't get any of this bullshit.
I mean, nice is a choice, Mo.
Sounds like work. What do we do for that?
So this episode is going to go up on Patreon about a week before it releases to the public. So if you are listening to it early, thank you very much, patrons. If you're listening to it on release day, on all the platforms, then you can get early access to our episodes by being a patron of ours, which is found on patreon.com/audiblyaddicted. You cannot search for us because we are too naughty. So you have to put in the whole link. But we made it easy for you. And if you know how to spell our name, then you know how to find us on Patreon. But we have lots of fun stuff on there. We've got exclusive audiobooks that have not been released anywhere else yet. We've got our episodes of Stump the Narrator. We've got bloopers. And then there's also super fun swag that gets sent out direct from Patreon to our patrons. We like that one. I really like the stickers. I like the stickers a lot. They make me happy.
Mm-hmm. They're very fun.
Yes. And then where else can they find us?
You can find us all over the social media. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Audibly Addicted, and all of those places. That's where we hang out.
We are also available to chit-chat with you in our Facebook group, which is the Audibly Addicted Fangirl and Boy Central. So feel free to join us over there. And you can also apply to join our Audibly Addicted Productions review team. We don't have a whole lot of spaces left at this point. But because there is a maximum, but if you'd like to do that, feel free to shoot us an email, audiblyaddicted@gmail.com, to inquire, and Mo can send you over the link to apply. Also, she periodically posts that in our fan group, so you can join us there and then have the opportunity to review titles that we have produced, which is a lot of fun. We got some real good ones. It's coming up. Mm-hmm. I always say that, but it's because it's true. They're all great. So, All right. Well, I think that's everything we've got. Thank you guys for listening. If you've gotten this far, make sure to subscribe and make sure to share the podcast and rate and review. And we'll be around next time.
Good luck.
Godspeed. Use lube. Okay. Goodbye. That's it.
Bye.
Bye.